Welcome to Read Between the Covers. Today, I'm exploring the 30-year journey of South African democracy, from the high hopes of the early 90s to the pressing challenges we face today. With the upcoming elections just a few weeks ahead, I want to explore this idea that our democracy is a dream deferred. Drawing from Langston Hughes's poignant query, I question whether the promises of democracy have truly materialized. Let's just go back in time. The year 1991 marked a significant turning point for South Africa. Nelson Mandela was free, the African National Congress was unbanned, and the nation was on the brink of drafting a new constitution. Now, despite ongoing political violence, there was a palpable sense of optimism. In April 1994, all South Africans, for the first time, voted together in a democratic election, electing Mandela as their president. Mandela's inaugural speech was not just a reflection of the harsh past, but a hopeful vision of a rainbow nation, a term coined by Desmond Tutu to describe a country of diversity and unity. Mandela promised reconciliation and a focus on eradicating poverty, deeply entrenched by decades of apartheid. However, the journey since then has been fraught with challenges. Following Nelson Mandela's tenure, which concluded in 1999, Thabo Mbeki ascended as South Africa's second democratically elected president. Now, Mbeki presented a grand vision of a South African renaissance, promising economic reform and poverty alleviation. And while the economy did perform well to a certain degree under his leadership, these promises were largely unfulfilled. Then, moving forward, Jacob Zuma's era was marked by widespread corruption, undermining the potential for substantial economic reform and social justice. And even under Cyril Ramaphosa's new administration, which promised a new dawn after 9 wasted years, the nation continues to wrestle with governance issues and public trust. As we reflect on 3 decades since the end of apartheid, it's essential to examine the tangible changes and whether the vision for a democratic South Africa has actually materialized. The transition was marked by high hopes for social, economic, and political reform. However, the legacy of this old system continues to impact socioeconomic conditions profoundly. In his book, The New Apartheid, Dr. Siswempofu Walsh asks us to consider the enduring remnants of it, how it manifests subtly under the guise of democracy and continues to shape our society. Sizwe's work compels us to interrogate unsettling questions about the persistence of apartheid's influence in present-day South Africa. What are the afterlives of apartheid? Does it reappear, albeit in disguise? How does apartheid continue despite the constitutional advancements we've celebrated? These are all the crucial questions that seek to unveil the layers beneath our societal structure. According to Sizwe, apartheid has not merely disappeared. It's transformed and embedded itself into the private sectors of society, retreating from the public eye yet continuing to influence through economic and social barriers. He posits that the apartheid of today has been privatized. It thrives not through overt legal frameworks as before, but through subtle economic and technological segregation. The concept of privatized apartheid is particularly intriguing. I mean, Sizwe argues that today's apartheid has evolved into a more concealed form of oppression, harder to identify and challenge because it operates under the veil of constitutional democracy. This new form of oppression is sustained by financial regulations and technological algorithms that dictate opportunities and maintain economic divisions without explicit legal enforcement. Another critical aspect that Sizwe addresses is the role of the Constitution in contemporary South Africa. While our Constitution is celebrated for its progressive values, he questions whether it is sufficient to usher in the needed societal changes. As we're approaching these elections, we need to ask ourselves, has the democratic transition in South Africa significantly deviated from its past, or are we witnessing the old paradigms of power and exclusion simply wearing new masks? This is why I think that it's particularly important for us young people to ask and pose this question, because we really need to ponder deeply about the depth of change and the authenticity of our progress as a nation in order to evaluate where we are and to determine how to move forward. So let's look at where we are, right? Despite the initial optimism, the ANC has faced criticism for not fully addressing the persistent poverty, inequality, and corruption that still plague our nation. Under President Cyril Ramaphosa's leadership, South Africa faces a daunting task list: revitalizing the economy, reducing national debt, and maintaining unity within the ANC amid apparent fractures. Land also remains a contentious issue in South Africa. The Native Land Act of 1913 left black South Africans with minimal land, a disparity that was only partially addressed post-apartheid. Today, despite attempts to redistribute land, significant challenges remain, compounded by debates over potential land expropriation without compensation, a topic that has ignited fierce political debate. Furthermore, corruption has seeped deep into the fabric of our governance, rooted in practices that intensified during the apartheid era. The state's involvement in arms deals and the entrenchment of a culture lacking fiscal oversight are vestiges of a past that complicates present governance. The ANC, in particular, has struggled with corruption within its ranks, affecting its credibility and effectiveness. Moreover, today's economic landscape is troubling, to say the least. With an unemployment rate potentially as high as 40% when including those who have stopped looking for work, and a national debt vastly higher than 1994, the challenges are stark. Rural areas, particularly the former Bantustans, continue to suffer from inadequate development, reinforcing a divide that apartheid deeply ingrained. The disparities in wealth and opportunity are immense. The 2022 World Inequality Report unveiled startling data that paints a bleak portrait of our nation's current state. South Africa remains one of the most unequal countries globally, with striking disparities in income distribution. According to the report, in 2021, the top 10% of earners in South Africa captured more than 65% of the total national income, while the bottom 50% received a mere 5.3%. The researchers contend that, although democratic rights were extended to the entire population after apartheid ended in 1991, extreme economic inequalities have not only persisted but worsened. Unfortunately, subsequent governments in post-apartheid South Africa have not carried out significant structural economic reforms, and they continue to perpetuate the inequalities of the past. You know, I think now more than ever, especially because we're leading up to very important elections, we need to think about the youth's role in shaping the future. And I think that we as young people have also shown that we're not just bystanders in our own future. You know, movements like Fees Must Fall and Roads Must Fall have vividly demonstrated the power of youth activism, and have highlighted deep-seated inequalities and pressed for urgent reforms in education and economic policies. These movements not only reflect the frustrations of the younger generations, but also their determination to demand and drive change. The upcoming elections present a significant opportunity for us as young people to influence the direction of our democracy, and it's a moment ripe with potential for societal change, where we as young people can leverage our voting power to push for policies or parties that address inequality and promote inclusive growth and actually speak to or aim to address issues that resonate with us, like youth unemployment and so forth. So, as we reflect on the past 30 years, it's clear that while we've made significant strides in some areas, many of Mandela's dreams remain unfulfilled. The task before us is such as not just to remember his vision, but to actively work towards realizing it, ensuring that democracy in South Africa is not a deferred dream, but a living, evolving reality. thank you for joining me on this reflective journey. And in the next few episodes, I'd actually like to engage with different people in the public to hear what their opinions are on the upcoming elections, about the options that exist as far as political parties are concerned, if any of the political parties that currently exist resonate with them. So I'll be posing these questions just to gauge what people think. Let's continue to think deeply about where we are as a nation, to put together our minds to determine how we can move forward to bridge these societal gaps, eradicate these inequalities, and build a much more just and equitable society.